Welcome to episode 9 of Trivial Arguments. We'll do some trivia and we'll get into some arguments. I'm here with the director of morale for the Chicago Cubs. We'll talk about the Cubs so far this season, kind of how the director of morale, Dom, got started, his morale side projects, and then I'll try to get him to answer some difficult questions that probably won't be difficult for him, but and then we'll
see.
We'll do some Los Cubs trivia. So, Dom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, I figured, you know, when I reached out, I was like, an off day was probably the easiest. That way we're both not, you know, looking out of the corner of our eye, like watching the game. And you're like, you know, I have morale things to do. I can't be, you know.
Yeah, there are a lot of responsibilities. There are a lot of responsibilities, though. As ridiculous as they are.
I saw at one point you were, you had gotten like sidetracked and you were doing the Bears morale too. You were on the Russell Wilson, like,
well, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, you know, whatever I can do to further any cause to try to help the city or people that, you know, appreciate morale or whatever, I'm going to try to champion that effort. And, you know, I guess my work didn't necessarily come through, but I don't think it's a bad story in the end, especially with Justin Fields. So it's all good. It's all morale. That's all it is. It's all morale.
Yeah. So speaking of like morale, like we had talked off kind of pod and I asked you, you know, you started this, what, like 2014, 2015, like how did this all kind of get started? And then obviously, how did you get to kind of where you're at now? Like, did you kind of figure that it was going to take off, or did you start it off as like a, you know, it was just something to do? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, people are really like kind of vibing with this. Like I should, you know, keep running with it, or like just kind of explain how that kind of happened.
Yeah. I mean, back in 2014, you know, I've always been a Cubs fan. I played baseball all through college, so I had a background in the game. And, you know, back then the Cubs weren't the Cubs yet, I guess, right? 2014. And really what my content was is I was posting videos, like highlight clips on Vine. If you remember Vine, like those short videos, because you couldn't post one on Twitter. So that kind of, you know, transitioned to like kind of how I still tweet today and, you know, running with shticks and all that type of stuff. And then it kind of just transformed. Morale specifically kind of came about like during the Cubs run, just on like a random tweet. And then people started running with it. And then I, you know, like I do, I took it from there. But the premise of it all is I've always had an issue with how mainstream media looks at sports or looks at the Cubs, and specifically just because it's so negative all the time. It's the same narratives. It's this, we're going to build everyone up for a short period of time and then we're going to tear them down really hard. And I just was never a fan of that, because I think there are so many fans that really just want to watch the game and have fun and try to enjoy something that takes them away from their everyday life and all their struggles that everyone goes through. Right. So, yeah. And genuinely that's how I am. I'm a glass half full person. I have a positive mindset. It's honestly maybe a character flaw that I have, because I just am just always looking at things and through a positive lens. And overall, you know, I tweet to make myself laugh. Like if I think it's funny, and of course, like, I don't want to be obviously discriminatory or anything bad against a specific group of people or audience. But if it's funny, like, I'm going to tweet it. And the stuff that I tweet makes myself laugh. I mean, I probably laugh the most from Twitter more than anything else throughout the day. So, yeah, and it just kind of went from there. I'm obviously a big Cubs fan. I love Chicago. I love what the city stands for. I love what the Cubs are and the mystique around them and everything. So I just kind of bring that into the content and, you know, try to get a lot of people involved. And of course, like, there's the ego factor of it. And, you know, there's people that hop on and off the bandwagon, and I kind of hold them accountable at times. And that really makes some Cubs fans butthurt because of that. But you know what,
overall, when people like try to, you know, like, oh, like, Dom, I was here since day one, and you like pull up the tweet and you're like, yesterday you literally
said, no, you're not.
So
yeah, no, people get really butthurt about that, which, you know what, I guess I'm kind of learning, because like, I've been doing it for a while, but I never had this many followers for so long. So kind of changes when I was doing it and I had like 3,000 followers to now having, you know, 21,000, that it really changes things. So I'm learning on the job as well, but yeah, definitely does frustrate some people, but overall I'm here for laughs. I'm here for fun. I've learned a lot doing this, honestly. And I try to be better on a daily basis. Doesn't mean I've been perfect all the time, but I'm trying to be better with, you know, handling a big audience and a lot of opinions and a lot of thoughts and feelings. So it's a learning process on my own, but overall, I've just been very appreciative for it. I guess that's an abbreviated version to how everything went down, but that's pretty much how we got here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. When I first started, like, you know, seeing the tweets or whatever, and I was like, how the hell is he like being positive about, like, you know, it was a 13-1 game, we were losing, and you're like, yeah, but that like one that we scored, like that was like a, you know, professional at bat by so and so. And I was like, how the hell did he find the one good thing that happened in this, you know, game? Yeah. They were just out of it fairly early. And then, you know, I was like, it's like nauseating to the fact that he's like this positive. And then as I kept like reading and, you know, games went by and it was day by day, I'm like, oh, actually, like, I kind of like having like this presence, because I'm like, you know, I could eat, you know, everybody easily gets like down, you know, like, all the, like they're losing early and it's like, oh, well, this game's over. And you get on Twitter and you're like, I'm not done. Like, if you're saying you're done, then you should get the hell out, because
I mean, you know what, I think a lot of it comes from is because I never played in the major leagues, but I've been in those positions to where like the game's down and, you know, you feel like there's nothing to play for. But I know for a lot of those players, like having a good at bat in the eighth inning after you went 0-for-4 and you like hit a rocket like down the line or something, you take a really good walk, like that stuff's meaningful. And I know to the average fan, it's like, all right, they lost, like whatever, they scored one run, it doesn't matter, we stink. But like those little things build up and carry on into further into games in the future. And then when you look back, you're like, well, where did this thing change for this player? Where did it change? Like, it's like the moments like that, that the common fan or someone that's really not paying attention doesn't realize. But like each at bat matters, each moment matters. And I guess for myself, like I see that in the players, and as I've gotten to know the players a lot more, like those things matter. So I try to, through a positive approach, try to portray that to the audience so they could kind of understand where I'm coming from. Because whether it's a, you know, huge at bat the ninth inning to win the game, or if it's a, you know, at bat when you're down 10, but you know, work a good at bat, you get to a full count, and then you rope a double, you know, off the wall. Like that stuff matters. And that's what really changes careers, changes seasons for specific players. And then obviously if we have more players have that happen to, then we're going to have a better team. So that's pretty much where it comes from. I know it can be nauseating because people are like, man, you just never, there's no like downside with you. You won't like give in to anything that's going on. But you know what, to that, I say, it's my Twitter. This is how I am. And I'm not going to apologize for it.
Yeah. And I mean, when I said like nauseating, I didn't mean like, you know, I hate you or anything like that.
No,
like,
I get it.
Oh man. Like, you know, like I'm watching them lose and I come on Twitter and you're like, no, they're not losing. Like they're just losing now.
It's, yeah, it's exactly.
Like, I understand what you're saying, but I was like, I don't want to read this right now.
I get it.
But like, it's very easy to just like sit there and like sulk and be like, no, like they're losers, like they're losing, and just sit there. And it's like, no, like that doesn't do anything. I was like, there's 162 games for a reason.
Yeah. Like, and again,
the Dodgers at the beginning of this season, and now they've lost what, like 10 of their last 12 or whatever the hell. Yeah. I mean, they're down bad right now. So it's like,
yeah,
I mean, sure, they were flying high at the beginning, and now they're looking for, you know, any type of excuse to, you know, score any kind of runs. I mean, they were one of the best teams in the league, and then all of a sudden, you know, they haven't really been able to figure it out again. So I mean, there's going to be a bunch of ups and downs. So it's like I said, it's pretty easy to just be like, oh well, like this is a down, like let's just be sad and let's be mopey about it and whatever else. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, you know, there's a lot more games to be played, and you know, it like this moment isn't going to last forever. So
absolutely. Yeah, you're totally right. You framed it perfectly. And I mean, I have a very sarcastic sense of humor as well. So, you know, just seeing whatever, be a good at bat or something happened in the stands, or like the other game, like the other day when the guy lifts his kid up and throws the ball into the, yeah, the stands. I mean, it's just like stuff like that. Like that was a negative play for the Cubs. They just gave up a home run. And, but like, as a fan, you're like, oh, that's awesome. Right. And so it's just kind of where it comes from.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, in the beginning, I was like, oh, like, you know, he's way too happy about this. Like, you know, like, let me step away. But now it's like, I don't know what I would do. Like, if I didn't like open Twitter and I was like, oh, like Dom's still here. So like, I'm not worried.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, I think with a lot of my fans, I have to build equity with them over time. And because like the early initial look at what I do is like, they can't wrap their head around it, especially when you tie the shticks and the inside jokes, like they don't get it. But that's why I think and again, I'm trying to be humble, even though my ego is through the roof, why I've built something that is as unique as it is. And I don't think anyone can really replicate it, because I don't think anyone tweets like me. I don't think there's anyone that has like the jokes or the shticks or what I do, because I think my stuff is pretty unique. And yeah, I just kind of stuck with that. And if it, like I said before, if it makes me happy, if it makes me laugh, then I'm going to roll with it. And I'm not going to really care what anyone else has to say about it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also probably hard to stay humble when you've got people that, I think it was for maybe the Brewers or something, like somebody was like, oh, like I'm the director of morale for the Brewers. And like, it got, yeah, you're like, no, like,
yeah, no, there's a lot of people out there. There's, I mean, you know what, listen, as I've gotten bigger and bigger, I've taken more and more heat. And I would just say for anyone who, if you are listening to this and you're not a fan of myself, like I am more than happy to discuss what I do with anyone. I've had conversations with people who absolutely hate my guts, have told me that I'm the absolute worst. Yeah. Like, let's talk it out. Like, what's your problem? I'll discuss it with anyone. If it's about the Cubs, it's about what I do, whatever, I'm more than happy to talk about it. I feel like in the end, after you have discussions, after, you know, you have just have a normal conversation, because Twitter is like the worst way to converse, you know, yeah, from person to person, like people start to understand. It doesn't mean that you have to like me. It doesn't mean that you have to like how I tweet, but I think people over time will understand what I'm getting at, because it is for fun. It is trying to bring a positive message to people, and on the mistakes that I've made, like I'll own up to it and I'll try to be better next time.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's also, you know, like Twitter usually is somebody's either best day or their worst day. And there's really no in between. So yeah, if you had somebody on the worst day and they're, you know, like you're having a good time. And, you know, like the other day, when was it, a couple weeks ago when the Cubs were down against Atlanta, and like Rizzo pitched against Freddie Freeman, and everybody, yeah, I was like, how does Twitter like not love this? And I get on Twitter, there's a bunch of people that like it. And then there's a bunch of people that are like, you know, why the hell is he out there laughing? Like, why are they having fun? Like they're losing, yeah, and, you know, like, how are you not embarrassed? It's like, what did you want him to do?
Exactly.
Like, want him to just sit in the dugout and like pout?
Yeah. No. Yeah. One of my Twitter friends, I guess now, Joe Kilgallen, said, what do you want him to do? Go on a hunger strike? It's like, yeah, exactly. You know, what do you want? So,
yeah. I mean, and a lot of people were like, you know, like they're losing, like they're under 500. Like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah.
It's like, again, like, you know, the whole point of this is to compete, but it's also to have fun. Like, yeah, I don't think at any point they really necessarily gave up like on that game. But I mean, I think it was the difference between like, you know, it's starting to look like they're probably going to lose. So you could either lose and be miserable, or you can lose and take some positives out of it, or, you know, whatever else. And people just get so upset about like the stupidest things.
So they do.
Like, you spend 5 minutes on Twitter and it's like, oh, like those were a good 5 minutes. Like, let me keep scrolling. It's like, no, all I had to do was just stop when I told myself to stop. And it would have been perfectly fine.
I hear you. Yep. I hear you. I deal with it every day.
Yeah. But I mean, let's go back to your ego. I mean,
yeah,
only is like, you know, you're getting more followers and stuff like that, you're starting to get like actual, like, you know, reputable Cub sources, like, you know, tweeting at you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having a good conversation with Yu Darvish when he was on the Cubs, and you know, and all of a sudden now Ian Happ's in the fold, and like everybody's saying Church of Jake, and it just seems like, I don't know if I would be able to just be like humble if I like put out, you know, something there, just you know, be like, oh, like I'm having fun on Twitter today, and people are like, ha, like, yeah, that's cool. And then they like repeat it, and you're like, oh yeah, like I guess that was, you know, pretty cool. And then like everybody's saying it now, and it's like, yeah, you're damn right, it was cool. Like, how did you guys like this earlier?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's I guess I've never really thought it about it that way. You know what? I am someone who, like I said before, I personally, am I saying this right? March the beat of my own drum. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an individual, and I would even describe myself as like a hipster. I will do, I don't know if it's just my personality or what it is like, but if it makes me laugh, if it's something that I like, then I'm going to go with it. And if people don't like it, if people do like it, whatever, it doesn't matter. But yeah, the premise of this whole thing has always been to joke, to make people laugh. And of course, like the massive ego, like, am I joking? Yes. But at the same time, like, I'm messing around, and it's like, it's just fun. It's funny to me. I love personally the things that make me laugh the most are people that take themselves way too seriously. And that's what I'm essentially doing. Like, I know this all is ridiculous. I know I've made this fake name for myself, but guess what? I've made this fake name for myself, and it's become real life. So yeah, like, you're just in the meme. You're just getting swept up in the meme. So I don't know what to tell you. It's like, I know people get frustrated, but even I'm just thinking about it right now. The whole thing's ridiculous. And we're just out here trying to have fun and trying to make people laugh. And luckily I've been able to do that and be able to talk to people like you and be on a lot of different podcasts. And I've had a lot of fun doing. So, yeah, I mean, it's like a humble ego just all swept up into one. And it's just fun. And again, I'm very, very, very appreciative for it. And I can't imagine not having it, honestly. I can't imagine not having it, which is why people always say, you need to cut this out. You got to stop with the morale stuff. And I just genuinely want them to know that I am not going to stop. If I do stop, I will let everyone know, and I'll probably go out on top. Like, I'll be like on the world championship parade, driving down Michigan Avenue, right sitting next to the trophy. And then I might retire. But other than that, don't expect me to leave anytime soon unless I die.
Yeah. And I mean, and how cool was it for, like, when did you start saying like bad news, like for Yu Darvish? And then like, has he ever referred to himself as bad news?
Yeah, he's bad news. Absolutely.
That's what I mean. So it's like,
he's bad news. They're the morale family. I absolutely love that. I mean, I mean it when I say it, I absolutely love the Darvish family. Yeah. They're incredible. And I was actually thinking about today, they come back to town in 2 weeks to 3 weeks to play the Cubs. And it's going to be amazing. I hope he lines up to pitch that week.
Yeah. I mean, I got my mug right here for you. Where's the,
oh, incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know what? Bad news is I don't know if I'll ever be able to top anything like bad news. I think it's my best shtick of all time. I think it's my best nickname. Just everything about it is just perfect. And I think it's the one that I'm most proud of, because you honestly is like my favorite Cub of all time because of just what he went through, how humble he was, his background, I have a lot of appreciation for people who go outside of their comfort zone. I mean, like, people forget, like, he's from Japan. Like, he doesn't speak English extremely well. Like, this is a whole like unique situation, and he had so much pressure on him when he came here, and he was bad mouthed and the whole deal. And for him to come back and be as humble and honest, and just, he was just so transparent throughout the whole thing. And again, to have any semblance of connection to him or relation to him is something that I take with the utmost respect and appreciation. And again, bad news is I don't think I'll ever top bad news. It was amazing. It was like the right amount of time. And I wish he was still on the team, but the fact that he left at like the height of bad news is almost better. I can't lie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like, there's no way to get hurt. It's like, oh, like, well, that, was, you know, like that was that moment and it was phenomenal. And now it's like, now instead of trying to top it, you just kind of leave it the way it was. And
yeah,
you can kind of just walk away from it.
He's bad news forever. I mean, he could come back to Wrigley when he's like 80 years old. I'd be like, that's bad news. You know, it's amazing. So
I think one of my like original moments where I was like, oh yeah, like I'm definitely following this account and whatever else, is when you were tweeting at Christian Yelich and you were like, just so you know, like since this tweet, like since he said he needs help facing you, is like you're batting like a 126 and he struck out, you know, X amount of times. And it's like, all you have to do is just admit it. And then,
absolutely. I mean, I'll say this. I really like Christian. I know I give him a lot of flack. I know I really ride him, but I can't say enough how appreciative I am for him. And I know he doesn't respond all the time, but he knows what's going on. He's eventually going to wear the bad news shirt. I've never been as confident about something. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. What'd you say?
He responded to you before?
Yeah, he's responded to me a few times, and through the grapevine, he's going to wear the bad news shirt sooner or later. It's going to happen. And, you know, I'm appreciative that he didn't block me, because if he did, then I wouldn't be able to keep it going. And I think I think he understands the joke and the shtick. Not saying he like is all about it, but he gets it, and eventually he's going to wear the shirt.
I mean, I think sometimes he's probably like opening Twitter and he's like, oh, it's Dom again.
Yeah.
At some point he had to just have laughed it off and be like, oh, like he's still doing it. Like he's,
you know, well, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. And that's another thing where I think people misunderstand like what I do. Like, I'm going to keep going. I don't like, you could think the joke's over. Like, to me, it's not over. And that's part of what I think is funny, when someone just keeps on doing the same thing and is stuck in their ways and takes himself way too seriously. It's like, I'm just mimicking that person and I can do it on a public forum and it makes me laugh. So why would I stop? You know, it's, to me, it's funny. Like I'm laughing about it right now. Maybe to other people it's not, but to me it's funny. And if I laugh about it, then I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I always enjoyed it. So, I mean,
yeah. Thank you.
Like there's no way that he doesn't enjoy it either. I'll probably never admit it, because once he admits it, then, you know, maybe the whole like falls apart. But
yeah,
I was like,
he's going to wear the shirt. I know it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went from, we got bad news, which was you, Darvish. How did we get to like the morale blend? Like, how did that all come about? I bought it. My parents are big coffee drinkers. They drink like all of it, so I have to order more. I didn't even get a chance to taste it, because my fiance, like Lizzie, she drank some and she's like, oh yeah, like we got to get more of this. I bought two bags. I bought one for, you know, my house, and then like for her, and then my parents like drank it all, and I was like, well, the whole point was I bought it so I could drink it. And I don't drink coffee, but I was like, I mean, it's like Michael's secret stuff in Space Jam. I was like, there's no way I'm drinking this thing. So
yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the support. I mean, I've been lucky enough, if you follow along, Ian and I mean, what started as a joke when I first went on the podcast, Ian's podcast, and I said that he was big leaguing me, even though he was big leaguing me, you know, the whole joke that I went on with, mind you, Ian and I had never talked beforehand. We had never conversed in any form or fashion. And I went in there as confident as ever, being like, we're going to build this relationship. It was my main priority. Like he wanted to build the relationship. And I essentially was like, we're going to do this. And luckily enough, we actually have. Like, I would consider him my friend. I think he would say the same. We talk a lot. And pretty much, like, as you know, Ian is invested and is very much interested in many things outside of baseball, even though he works very hard at his job. But he's, like, very passionate about business, and coffee is one of those things. And with his partnership with Connect Roasters, you know, they have the Home Run Club and Quarantine Coffee going on, which has been fantastic for the community, giving money back to COVID relief efforts. And pretty much, like, as we talked and as we, you know, just got more comfortable with one another, and, you know, I think a lot of people just think that me and him just converse over Twitter. It's like we talk and call, you know, fairly regularly. And we just came up with an idea. He pitched this concept that he was like, you know, I really like what you do with Morale Blend. Like, what do you think, like, if you got into the coffee game with me? And I was like, I'm all about it. Like, and I love how their business, I love how Connect Roasters is giving back on each one of their projects. And Ian and I both love golf. I actually just sent him a picture. All weekend I was working on my garage, lifting the roof so I can put a simulator in there. I can finally swing a full golf swing in my garage. We're like, hey, let's give back to First Tee. And that's just kind of where it came from there. And I think the fact that Morale is tied to coffee, I don't know if there's a better name for a coffee blend. I mean, the Morale blend just works perfectly. And, you know, with Ian's obvious connections to the team, we just thought it'd be a really good way to connect with the team and connect with fans, help out a charity that we both care about. And that's kind of where we are today. And I'm super excited about where things have gone, where things are going. And I think Ian would probably say it himself. Like, we've really helped the greater First Tee of Chicago. And Ian, admittedly so, like, has been hurt and hasn't played as well as he would have liked or we would have liked. So, you know, we're just excited where everything's going to go. And we're just very thankful for the support. And I can't thank everyone enough. It's been it's definitely the biggest thing we've ever done. And I love everything about it. And hopefully people really like the coffee, because Connect Roasters does an awesome job, and just really thankful for everything.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like, I didn't even get a chance to try the coffee yet.
Yeah.
You already got me buying it again, and I haven't even had it. So.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to get a waffle maker. I'm hoping that this podcast
is
fun, and all of a sudden I'll just get like a waffle maker in the mail. So Ian, if you're listening, I know you're probably sitting at home.
Yeah.
Playing today. I was like, I could use a waffle maker. I'll take it off.
Yeah. We need him to get back out there and, you know, playing every day. So, all these things can come to life again. I feel like that waffle was so long ago, but yeah, you're totally right. But yeah, overall, just whether it be you or other people, just really thankful for the support. And we're glad everyone kind of understands the premise of everything and have given it a chance. And we're going to continue doing it, because personally for me, I mean, this isn't the only time we've raised money for different foundations. We raised thousands of dollars for the Rizzo Foundation, for Kyle Schwarber's Foundation, for nurses in the city at the height of COVID last year, and something we want to continue to do. And that's something that I'm proud about. You know, I've turned this joking shtick, inside joke ego Cubs thing, into something that we've donated tens of thousands of dollars to different charities throughout the city that relates to the Cubs. And that's something I'm proud of, and hopefully we continue to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's a big difference between, like, you know, like, maybe you're, you know, calling yourself the director of Morale, and if you're like trolling people online and people are like, dude, we get it. Like, you know, you're passionate about it, but now you've turned it into, like, maybe it originally started off as a joke, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, you started rolling with it and people were more receptive to it. And now you're getting, you know, the players involved and money's going to charity. And so it's like, I mean, it's probably everything you could have hoped for, you know, originally starting it, you know, 6-7 years ago on like a whim or whatever. You were like, oh, like, you know, no one's doing this. Like, why don't I just do it? And then, you know, that's probably like everything you could have possibly hoped for, that it would take off on, you know, on just like a whim or a joke or whatever. So,
yeah, absolutely. And we still have a lot more work to do. I mean, I say it all the time. I tell people that ask me, like, they're like, oh, would you ever thought it would have come to this? And I was like, no, but at the same time, yeah, because I am confident in what I do. And I do think it can get a lot bigger. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that follow me, but I don't think we've scratched the surface. And I think there are a whole bunch of things that I could be doing. I mean, I work another job, a full-time job. I have to spend a whole bunch of time focusing on that. So, like, if I could spend time, you know, actually thinking about the Cubs all day and doing other content stuff, I think it could be even bigger, but that's something for down the road. So, but yeah, I mean, we still have a lot to do, and I just set out every day trying to make people laugh. And after the day's over, I try to do it again the following day.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we want, you know, Ian to come back as soon as possible, but I think the backup center fielder, I think his name is Chris Bryant or something like that. I think he's doing, I mean, the Swiss Army Bryant or whatever you were calling him. I was like,
Swiss Army Chris Bryant. Yeah.
I was like, that's like the perfect name, because I mean, all of a sudden he's having like a resurgence again. And it's like, yeah, like this is exactly who we thought he was.
He's incredible. I know I talk about it a lot. I mean, he's just, if you're going to build your team around one guy, it's him. And I don't even think it's close. Just because of everything he brings, the versatility, his ability to produce, the whole deal. He's been a great teammate and just a stand-up person for that clubhouse and the whole deal. I mean, credit to him. He's come back. He's dealt with a lot of bad narratives surrounding him and his performance or his career, and just out here doing the damn thing, and just super happy for him. And hopefully he can stay here long term. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm hoping it does. I'm hoping this kind of pushes the Ricketts family and Jed to make a decision, hopefully sooner or later, with what's going to happen with him moving forward. But just really happy for him. And he's really a once in, I don't know, like once in every two decade type of talent, at least, you know what I mean? Like you don't see guys like him come around very often. And I've always tried to do my best to appreciate him and his career, because we don't see it a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think my biggest thing was, you know, I already thought, honestly, it was a foregone conclusion that, like, they had already lost Chris Bryant. So I kind of put that in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Although the narrative was, like, you know, they're not going to be able to afford him. And they have, you know, like, Rizzo needs to get paid. Baez needs to get paid eventually. You know, Wilson Perez needs to get paid. So the narrative was always like, oh, well, Bryant's already out, so you have to choose between, you know, this pile. So for me, it was like, well, if Bryant's gone, then, you know, you have to pay, you know, Anthony. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, wait, now Bryant might be back in the picture, and that door wasn't ever really closed, but everybody kind of assumed it was.
Yep.
I think it's, you know, if there's a year to kind of prove your case, he's doing it.
He's doing it. Yeah. He's striking when the iron's hot, and that's why I'm happy for him. And again, regardless of what happens, I think that as fans, and not every fan has to feel this way, because I know there's a lot of fans that invest heavily, spend their time and hard-earned money, but I feel like as a fan, like, Chris has given so much to the city, to the fans, to the organization, that regardless of what happens moving forward, I think everyone would agree that you kind of want what's best for him. And if that means moving on, if that means he can't get the money that he deserves here, then personally for me, I want to see him succeed because of everything he's done. So that's the same thing with Kyle Schwarber, John Lester, whoever else is left, right? And hopefully that can continue on. But I'm hoping and praying he can be in a Cubs uniform for a good amount of time longer.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the biggest like thing about like baseball now is that you don't get those players that are like the Jeter, where it's like the lifer.
Yeah,
there's so much money in the league, and there's so many other opportunities and stuff like that, that to get somebody for their entire career is absolutely like unheard of. Like,
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Jeter might be, you know, other than maybe Tatis, who just signed, obviously, you know, a huge deal and, you know, whatever else. But I mean, even him, he wasn't drafted by, you know, San Diego. Yeah. So it's like, do you really ever get one of those like once in a lifetime players and he stays with one team and you can, you know, get him as a, you know, rookie of the year, MVP, and then, you know, the whole team slumps and then the narrative is like, oh, like these guys don't have it. And it's like,
yeah, I totally agree. I wish, you know, and I don't know if my premise is like, I want Chris to be a Cub for life. I want Chris because Chris is still a really good player. And like Chris is producing at a level that is at the top of the league. And I personally don't see the Cubs going into a rebuild next year. I mean, maybe I'm speaking in a wishful tone, but I just don't feel like this team is going to go through a rebuild. And I feel like this team can compete moving forward. They have so much money coming off the books and you're going to sign one guy. I think it's Chris Bryant. I mean, if he went into the free agent market right now, I think he'd be one of the most highly coveted guys. And if you're just working on that premise alone in a vacuum, like that's the type of player that you want. So that's really where everything stems from and why I think the Cubs should re-sign him.
Yeah. In your opinion, what do you think is like the biggest, like, if or maybe like this season, like if the Cubs can do like,
yeah,
a Z, like then they're, you know, in the top 10 or they're where they can make a playoff run, or maybe if, you know, this happens, then, you know, they're able to do this. I think the starting rotation, yeah, is obviously a question mark from the beginning, but I think there's enough talent in it that, you know, they're going to surprise people. And again, it's 162 games. So it's easy to just pick out the ones that they're losing. And, you know, like Hendricks yesterday, it's like, you know, it's like, well, where did that come from? Like all of a sudden, you know, these, yeah, guys are, the, you know, opposing batters are catching up to him. And he was never a fast pitcher where all of a sudden now he's missing locations or they're timing him better. And it's like, you know, we thought that was like the one sure thing in the rotation, you know, with you gone and then Lester's gone. Yeah. So it seemed like Kyle was like the anchor. And all of a sudden it's like, well, now our anchor's not even the anchor. So,
yeah,
like, well, where do we kind of go from here?
You know, I don't mean to echo your point, but I think the starting rotation is number one. They have the worst starting rotation in the league. And that's objectively speaking, if you're going by F-war on Fangraphs, you can't compete if you have the worst starting rotation. And they found a way to get back to 500. The offense has been incredible since the morale blink came back. Again, I'm not someone to boost my own ego, but it's just the fact.
Yeah, the numbers back it up. Like, it's easy to
the numbers back it up. Yeah,
like they're better because they're drinking coffee, and it's like, no, like,
yeah, listen, and I hate to say it too, but Adbert Morales-Ale drinks the morale blend too. He's the best pitcher on the starting staff. Justin Steele, who's come up, drinks the morale blend. He's been one of the best, you know, bullpen arms since he's came up. So, listen, I know people hate to admit it, but it's just kind of the fact. But really, and I really believe this, and I feel really strongly about this. Like, I think the Cubs offensive setup right now with how it's constructed, you have guys like Matt Duffy, Jason Mariznick, and Nico Horner. Duffy and Horner specifically, I think this is the best offensive setup the Cubs have had since their World Series team because of the contact that is being incorporated into this team. And we know all the swing and miss. The Wilson Contreras, Hap, you know, Chris Bryant at times, Hobby, like we know, like this is, it's something that plagues the team. It's a lot of hit or miss. And when you can sprinkle guys in that have quality at bats that can still take walks and can produce on top of the contact that they make, like Nico Horner, like Matt Duffy, it totally changes the complexion of what you can do. And it allows you to play small ball in very important times. So overall, I'm super fired up about it. Especially if this starting rotation can figure it out. Like you said, if Hendricks can find his old frame and really, really focus, not saying he's not focusing, but really lock into what he's always been as a major league pitcher, I think we have a chance. But I think we're also going to see other opportunities, whether it be a Keegan Thompson or maybe a Corey Abbott coming from AAA. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for guys to come in and earn a job, because right now the rotation is the worst in the league. And I don't think as a Cubs fan or someone in the organization, you don't want to see that happen, especially with how the offense is playing and the talent that's here on this team.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think people really realize like the benefit of like a utility player, like how big of a hole it was when Zobrist like left.
Yeah.
Where it was like Zobrist sure. played every position. And since then the Cubs haven't really had a player that could do that. And now they're able to, you know, slot Duffy in the lineup at third and they have Bryant in the outfield. And I mean, just the ability for, you know, Chris to be that versatile to, you know, be able to, you know, Monday play left field, Tuesday play center, you know, and he's third on Thursday. And so, I mean, the fact that they can keep him in the lineup, they can keep Duffy in the lineup when Nico comes back, I foresee him, you know, being in the lineup fairly often. So, I mean, I think the offense is going to pick it up. And I mean, they've kind of already done it, but once that rotation kind of figures it out, I think yeah. everybody else is kind of in trouble. I think
I agree. And I hopefully we can see it soon. And yeah, the offense is definitely carrying their weight. The defense has been great as well. I mean, we don't talk about that enough. It's like a good defensive team with Nico and Javi and Chris everywhere and Hayward. And we all know Wilson and I mean, it's a really good defensive team. And, you know, we just need the starting pitching to kind of carry the load and earn their keep, if you will.
Yeah. And I think either tomorrow or Tuesday, if you're listening to this, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
I think they have two games against Cleveland. And I think Morales-Ale gets Bieber, one of those.
Oh, we do. Who's Bieber and who else? Who else are we facing?
I don't know who the other one was, but I know I kind of looked at the pitching probables the other day.
Yeah.
Morales-Ale versus Bieber. And I was like, I mean,
love it.
Cubs lose that game. I think that definitely benefits, you know, Adbert a lot for him to be able
absolutely.
To pitch against Shane Bieber. It's like, even if, you know, he doesn't have his best stuff or whatever, just to be able to kind of be that matching counterpart to him. I was like, I don't think that's not going to benefit him in, you know, in a positive way, regardless of the outcome. So.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And looking forward to watching it. I love Bert. I love Morales-Ale, and it's been great to see him develop. And he's kind of gotten the short end of the stick in terms of not being able to pitch out of, you know, some of his jams. And I think his numbers are only going to be better moving forward, which is really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, and I think David Ross is probably going to let him, you know, like as the season progresses, all of a sudden, you know, he's going to be more lenient on the pitch count, or he, you know, Edward's going to get himself in a jam and he's going to look at Ross and Ross is going to say, this is your jam. So
yeah, for like, sure.
I think he's starting to trust him a little bit more. And, you know, in turn, he's trusting himself. So, I mean, I think whatever happens for the rest of the season, I think it's going to be, you know, it's only up from here. I mean, they've managed to get back to 500. They're, I think, 4-9 on the road and they get the next five games are on the road. So, I mean, they have a chance to, you know, go 9-9. For the season on the road. They get two against Cleveland and then I think three against Detroit. So, I mean, if they're going to put it together, you know, and especially on the road, if they're going to put it together on the road, I think these next five games are definitely going to be, you know, a sign of what we're looking forward to in the future. So.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So let's do what you've been dreading, which was the Cubs trivia.
Let's do it. We'll see how good I am. I'm kind of nervous, to be honest with you.
Well, I was going to like message you afterwards and be like, do you want me to just like give you the answers?
So No. If I get them wrong, I get them wrong. We'll see. This is good. I've never done this before. We'll see.
So usually I tell people, you know, you can either play for a t-shirt or whatever, but like everybody stop listening right now. Everybody gets a t-shirt, so it doesn't matter how many you get right. Thank it definitely you. Is a shot to the ego if you think you know a lot of stuff and then all of a sudden it's like, oh well, I didn't know that one, and you know, whatever else, because I've done this like I said, like this is the ninth one. I've had just my buddies on here. We did like Sox trivia and like Bulls uh-huh. like that, and you know, a lot of them were better than they thought and a lot of them were like, oh, I guess I don't know anything.
So we'll see how I do.
Yeah, I don't rig the questions to try to, you know, stump anybody. I kind of just piece it all together and I have a common theme and, you know, we kind of just go from there.
Sounds good.
So let's start with an easy one. Wrigley Field, as you know, is a federal landmark.
Yep.
Under the cross streets that this landmark resides at.
Clark and Addison.
Clark and Addison. All right. Look, look at that.
I would have gotten that wrong. Jesus Christ.
So what is the day that the Cubs flipped the lights on and played their first night game at the friendly confines?
Oh.
Christian Yelich has leaned back in his chair going, ha.
I don't think it was in the 70s. I think it was in the 80s.
Okay.
I don't know the date. I'm going to say it's between 2 days. I'm going to say it's 19. I don't know the date, but I'm going to say the year. I'm going to say it's 1984.
It was August 8th, 1988.
Oh, anyways, I knew it was in the 80s. I didn't know the date. I had no chance. But the year I was close. Okay. We'll see how this goes. Now I'm nervous because this is the second question.
And I only knew the 1988, like off the top of my head, because I bought it's a bright yellow shirt. It says like the day they flipped the lights on. And I wore it for like, you know, in like a 7 day week, I wore it maybe 4 times. And then my fiance is like, yeah, you gotta get rid of that shirt.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I knew 88 off the top of my head. I was like, oh, my shirt says that. She's like, yeah, go get rid of that shirt.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
What is the affectionate name for the fans who watch the games from the bleachers?
Well, I feel like there's a few names, no? Bleacher bums.
Bleacher bums, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say. I mean,
a lot of them, but.
there are a few names, but okay, I got you. All right, we're on the same page.
So, bad news, Yu Darvish finished second in Cy Young voting in 2020. Can you name the first Cubs Cy Young and the last Cubs Cy Young?
The last Cubs Cy Young was Jake Arrieta. The first Cubs Cy Young, oh man, I'm assuming this goes back to like the 20s.
You want me to give you the year?
Yeah, can you give me the year?
1971.
Oh, Fergie Jenkins.
It was Fergie.
There we go. Okay. I was going to say, I was like, I feel like I know Cubs history pretty well, but if it's like back in, you know, the Great Depression era, I mean, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Bryant, is currently getting MVP chance at Wrigley lately. Who is the only Cub to win back-to-back MVP awards?
Were they both with the Cubs?
So it's the same guy for the back-to-back MVP.
Andre Dawson.
It was.
All right, perfect.
Mr. Cub himself, Ernie Banks.
No. Oh, sorry, I thought it was. Okay, my fault. All right. Well, you know what I was thinking? I knew Dawson got one MVP, right? Yeah.
Yes.
He got one, and I was thinking, like, maybe did it the year before. I don't know. Whatever. Okay. All right. Good habit, but I'll never said I was going to be perfect on this. Let's keep it going.
I'm trying to think out of the corner of my eye. I think that where the hell is it? Wherever. Yeah, up at the top.
Oh, there you go.
There's Ernie Banks. Yeah.
There you go. Love it.
So it was KB and it was EB, so.
Yep.
The Cubs have 4 retired numbers in their organization. 5 if you count 42 for Jackie Robinson.
Yep.
Name the 4 retired numbers.
Santo, Banks, Williams, Maddox.
Ron Santo, 10. 14, Ernie Banks. 23, Sandberg.
Oh, Billy Williams isn't retired?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, I might have to fact check it, but.
I could have swore he was retired. He has a statue. How is he not retired?
And then it was Fergie and Maddox. They were both 31. Let me fact check right now. Let's see if I'm the idiot and you are.
I could have swore Billy Williams was. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I just thought he was because he has a statue, doesn't he?
I'm trying to remember if he does have a statue. Let's see. There are five numbers retired. Ron Santo, number 10, Ernie Banks, 14, Sandberg, 23, Billy Williams, 26.
I knew it was, I knew what, all right, that's, I'm not wrong on that. You were wrong.
Yeah, I'm wrong a lot, so.
That's fine, that's fine. That's fine, no worries.
What I did was I knew five, and I went, oh, five. Well, the fifth one is got to be Jackie. Yeah, and then once you said Billy Williams, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, no, we're good. Hey, we're good. We're learning here.
Yeah. In 2016, the Cubs sang Go Cubs Go 57 times at home during the regular season. Who sings Go Cubs Go?
No idea. I should know because I feel like I'm always nervous about getting a DCMA complaint from Twitter so I don't get my account suspended. Who is it? I don't know.
That is Steve Goodman.
I knew it. I knew it was him. Bless. All right.
There's only three more questions.
No, we're good. Keep it going.
So you should be able to know this one because I'm pretty sure you've talked about it before. Which Cub player hit the most home runs in a single season for the Cubs? King.
Sammy Sosa, the King.
Slamming Sammy in 98. He had 66 of them.
The King. It's incredible. I miss him.
Yeah, so before I did this podcast, I was writing for like a Cub website, and I wrote like the article that was like, it's time to bring Sammy home.
And I'm pretty sure it is.
You, and you were like, yeah, like I couldn't agree more.
It is. It's been time. Been waiting too long. He's the King.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking 90s baseball, I mean, I was born in 92. So the entire like run of his, you know, Cub career, I was like, yeah, but baseball was synonymous with Sammy Sosa just as a Cub fan, and then in baseball altogether when he was, you know, fighting McGuire for the home run lead and whatever else. I was like, how is that not like must see baseball? Like they just had,
I know,
you know,
it's sad that it's come to this, and I hope it changes, but there's no player like the King. There's no one like Sam and Slam and Sammy. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he should be in the Hall of Fame, but God bless. He should have one opportunity to, you know, be in the federal landmark, throw out the first pitch, sing a seventh inning stretch, and go on his merry way.
I completely agree. Do you know if, probably not, if, you know, we're talking about this, but when the Cubs won the World Series and they sent out all, you know, World Series rings and stuff, did they not send Sammy one?
Oh, there's no chance he got one. Zero chance. Nope.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, how the hell did they not send him one? I was like,
I agree.
And then, you know, they're not letting him back, and it's like, oh, maybe they didn't. I was like, God, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
Like garbage men at Wrigley got one, and I was like, they're really like handing them out at one point. Not that, you know, people that work there don't deserve one, but I was like, you know, they get one, and Sammy Sosa was like, oh, like, look, they won the World Series. Like, I guess I'll check the mail.
Yep. Yeah. One of the most integral parts in the organization's history. And yeah, he's treated like
social pariah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. A lot, you know, coming from the guy who has the biggest ego of all time, the egos that run through the business side, and I'll even throw the Ricketts family in there. The fact that they've held this grudge for so long, considering they weren't even part of the organization back then, is absolutely ridiculous. I hope it changes, and hopefully this bridge can mend itself sooner or later.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, we'll see.
Yeah. Which Cub pitcher hit a home run in Game 7 of the 2003 NLCS?
Kerry Wood. Never forget. God, that was absolutely incredible. Left center. I remember watching it with my family. We had turned the TV volume off, and we were listening to Pat and Ron on the radio. And I think the radio was ahead of the TV, and we heard the call from Pat. And next thing you know, seconds later, Kerry hits an absolute tank into the left center stands. I think Kerry was also using like a red bat. I might be wrong, but I like vividly remember that. I don't know why.
Yeah. And he looked more comfortable in the box than other guys in that game. So
yeah, absolutely. I'll never forget that. Never forget that.
Of the would-be 2003 Cubs.
Yeah. Right. So I hear you.
So my dad has like season tickets for the Cubs. And that was, uh-huh. you know, the game six was, you know, the Bartman game and he was there and he told me like, I don't want you coming to like a clinch game because, you know, these people get rowdy and, you know, everybody's drinking at Sluggers and whatever else. And he's like, I don't need you being there. I think I was like 9 or 10 or something. He's like, game one of the World Series, like I'm taking you. He's like, you know, that'll be, you know, a lot better than a game six clinch game. Everybody's going nuts and, you know, no fault of their own. He's like, I just don't want you to get hurt out of, you know, stupidity or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's just trying
to get
it protective of me. And then that obviously never happened. So the first game of the 2016 playoffs, he's like, no, we have to like knock this out right now because there's no way I'm breaking this promise twice in my life. So,
yeah, incredible. That's awesome. That's a great story. You know what? That's what this is all about, man. It's about, you know, telling stories and bringing people together and just for you to share that. And I know there's a ton of people that have very similar experiences and that's great. I love it. I love to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, like when they won the World Series, like he was like crying. He's like, I didn't get to do this with my dad. And he's like, and you get to do it with yours. And he was like, you know, he's like, I didn't even really like think about it. He goes, we didn't even have any Old Style in the house. He's like, we had to drink like a Coors Light or something.
Yeah.
He's like, how the hell did I not buy Old Style for game seven of the World Series? He's like, I think I just didn't want to jinx it. So he's like, I think I just, you know, I just left it alone.
Incredible. I love it.
So your last question.
All right.
In 1993, with me being of the ripe age of 11 months, uh-huh. the movie Rookie of the Year hit theaters. In 2015, who was the Rookie of the Year?
Chris Bryant. God, if I would have gotten that one wrong. Duffy came in second, so that's why I've been learning about. For some reason, I forgot about that. Chris Bryant, absolutely. If I would have gotten that one wrong, I should have be banned from Twitter in and of itself.
I thought, like, I was like, Matt Duffy. I was like, man, that sounds familiar. And then, you know, the Cubs got him, and I was like, why does Matt Duffy sound so goddamn familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I was like, that Matt Duffy. I was like, the Matt Duffy that, like, Bryant was, like, racing in September to try to, you know, eclipse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, we got that guy. I was like, we got the MVP or the Rookie of the Year and the backup Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I was like, how are we not shooting this team to the freaking moon at this point?
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. How many did I get right and wrong?
So you got 7 right.
Okay, out of what, 10?
Out of 10, yeah.
Oh, come on. That's much better than I thought I would have done. Fair enough.
Like I said, like some of this is, you know, is vague surface knowledge, and then some of this stuff you have to kind of dig. Like I thought for sure, like the Cy Young one, I was like, oh, it's going to be, you know, Mordecai Brown or, you know, whatever in 1930, 1940. And when I looked it up, I was like, oh, really? Fergie, 71? I was like, I could put that in. I was like, I'm not going to try to trick you and make you name, you know, remember the Knockings or whatever.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah, so that's 7. That's a T-shirt. Look at you go.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, Dom, that's all we got for episode 9. I'd like to thank you for joining us on this Cubs off day before they head to Cleveland for 2 important games, which I don't know if they've ever – played Cleveland 2 games in a more important time than Wednesday. But so you can follow our official Instagram. That's at Trivial Arguments. You can follow my Instagram. That's LenDog92. That's dog DAGG because I was a child when I made this account. or you can follow me on Twitter at Lenny Arquilla. I tried to change it to Trivial Arguments and Twitter's like, no, make a new account. And I'm like, I don't have time for that. So you can follow Dom on Instagram and Twitter. I believe it's the same thing. It's at Dom_Frederick, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
And then I'll shout out the Morrell Supply Company too. I think that's at Morrell Supplies or Supply, like CO, right? Short for company.
Yeah, Morrell Supply Co. Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you very much, Lenny. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. Great conversations. And whenever you'd like me to come back and you can give me some harder questions next time, I'd be more than happy to join.
Yeah, we'll only do 1920s Cubs. So.
Okay, perfect. I'll make sure I study beforehand.
Yeah, just whatever year was right after, you know, the Titanic sank. That'll be our starting point.
I'll be studying for a month beforehand, so you'll have to give me a warning.
No, that's perfectly fine. I'll have to do a lot of Google searching. I would never try to trick you into naming any 19 whatever Cubs that weren't like Sammy Sosa era Cubs. So
fair enough. Fair enough. A lot of fun, Lenny. I really appreciate it. Thanks again.
Yeah, always a pleasure, my friend. I hope to do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lenny. Have a good night. And whenever you post this, just send it to me and I'll tweet out the link.
Perfect. Yeah, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. Have a good one.
Have a good night. Go Cubs.
See ya. Cubs in four.
Cubs in four.